Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Saturday AMI. Vance Rogers here, enjoying yet another beautiful Saturday morning in the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area. I'm looking at these absolutely gorgeous, beautiful clouds that are low level, and as the sun rose this morning, it's truly another fantastic day here in the Pacific Northwest. And I'm like here in the what I call the heartland of America. You, Phil, I know you have your beautiful mornings as well. They're just a little more flat. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so you don't have the elevation and the ups and downs like we do here. That's kind of the theme of the little bit of history that you and I have and that I've been able to enjoy chatting on the phone with you. And you have been a guest on this call before. I specifically remember you sharing about being a triathlete in your 70s.
Yep.
So, in a couple minutes or less, give us an overview of Phil Hansen's life, and you know how NECAN entered and all that good stuff, and I guess really why just an ordinary guy like you, like the rest of us, would choose to align yourself with a Japanese research and development company like NECAN that is approaching its 50th year, and you know, maybe some of the benefits or all that. And I know it's hard to capsulize that. But then I specifically, and we'll switch gears, I specifically want to get into the subject of a stroke on that topic. And I've got some stuff that I'm going to share, 8 points, and I want to encourage people, if you've got pen and paper in hand, you may want to write these 8 points that I literally just did some quick research this morning and discovered. So, Phil, take us back. Your history, and then why NECAN?
Okay. Yeah, I was a farm boy, and I grew up very, very healthy, and I went into the Army, and then I came out and got into teaching, and I taught physical education for, I taught physical education for my career, and I retired in 94, and that was the year that I went. I got invited to a wellness meeting at a house, and I had just kind of twisted my ankle a little bit the night before, and I officiated 8 games on Saturday and 5 on Sunday, and my ankle had turned over a little bit, and I put 2 little minis on the inside of my sock, and I could not believe the difference that happened from Saturday to Sunday. And the meeting was Saturday night. Well, anyway, then I got really involved because I was extremely healthy. I did not miss a day of school for my whole career. Extremely healthy and very active, and then I put on a sleep system on the bed, and I went to sleep so much sounder, so much better, right 5 minutes after I was in bed, and I knew at that point that there was really something here with NECAN and their research. And then it was after about in 2001, I had a surgery on my left knee to correct a cartilage. And anyway, after I recovered a week later, I had a staph infection in the right knee. And I would just go to get hydrated at the hospital. And when I got out of there, I would come home and lay down on the couch and I would just shake. I couldn't get, my body would just shake. And I asked my wife to get a comforter, and she put that on and just cooled me down. And I could not believe the difference between the two. And that has been my history. And then I had a broken ankle that my foot was pointed the wrong direction. And I got on Dr. Naidu's bone health product. And within 6 months, after about 6 years of rehabbing the ankle, it healed up to the point where I could do triathlons, and I did. I got into triathlon via the senior game. I was a senior, and I got involved in that and racing bikes, and it was just a wonderful session all the way through, and I couldn't believe the difference that all made. And I did triathlons and bike racing until 1975, when I was in the National Senior Games up in Minneapolis, and then I competed there and did okay in all of them, and then I painted my house, which was a big one, and then I fell down twice on the same area on my tailbone, broke my tailbone, and then 2 weeks later I did it again, and then everything went south, and I had my stroke.
Well, you ended on the word that I wanted to segue into, and that is the topic of stroke. And Al, you shared so much in that amount of time, and what I gleaned from that is you were occupationally, as a phys ed major, phys ed teacher, you were proactive in doing everything that we're supposed to do to maintain a healthy body, much like people. And I don't want to beat up on Americans. I don't want to come off as sounding that way. What I do want to say is that we seem to take a different approach in that repairing and fixing things after they're broken or after they've gotten to, or if we've had an accident, like you said, we go and, or we get a staph infection and we do what we're supposed to do or what Western medicine teaches us we're supposed to do, and yet our bodies don't necessarily always appreciate that kind of intervention. And I find this time and time and time again. If we'll actually be open to looking at what other cultures do, what people around the globe have been doing, not for a few years, but for decades and centuries, to allow the body to heal itself, we have to change the environment. And I could think of several analogies just from the last week alone that our family has, you know, whatever the case may be. But I wanna talk about the subject of a stroke. Phil, it sounds like you were doing everything possible. Here you are, a triathlete in your 70s, running, bicycling, swimming.
Yeah, I did all of those things all the way through my whole life, my whole career. I have always been active. Even when I was on the farm, we walked, we didn't put down any fertilizer whatsoever. We just picked the weeds. And so I've been active my whole life. And that has been my number one goal, and it has been and did give me a tremendous amount of ability to play whatever I wanted to do.
Okay. So today you are how many years young?
80.
You're 80 years young. Okay. And yep. The stroke occurred how many years ago?
Well, it was in 2015 when I had the stroke, October 1st, 2015.
Okay, so coming up on four years. Go ahead.
Yeah, and now I am back. I'm able to do every exercise that I have done before, and then I start off my day with a bike ride of 20 minutes or better, and you know about 4 or 5 miles, and then I walk for usually about a mile and a half or a little over, and so I'm doing things that I did before, but just a little bit slower.
Okay. So, and when you and I spoke the other day, maybe I misinterpreted what you said. Didn't you ride your bike for 17 miles?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I rode my bike, and I can go basically any amount of distance that I want right now. It's just a matter of a choice whether I want to do it or not, or spend the time at that time. So exercise every day is a must.
Okay. Let me ask you this, and this is something that you and I didn't discuss before. I didn't ask. What was the reason, or did they peg the reason for your stroke? Was there one particular thing? Obviously, you got the physical fitness aspect down. You've got the, because you're using the Nikan sleep system, the water, all the other elements. And again, I want to remind everybody, we don't make any medical claims in Nikan. Every person's story is different. This is simply Phil's story. All right, so just lay that out there. Did they, and here's the question again, did the medical professionals attribute your stroke to any one particular thing, or was it a combination, or what?
No, basically because of those two falls, I fell and I broke my tailbone on the drawer that was open, and then I was painting my window in the basement, and I fell off the stool and onto that same area. And it just jammed up with the tailbone, and then was losing my balance as time went on, and that's when I had the stroke. So it was basically because of those falls that I had the stroke, and they didn't recognize it, and they couldn't really find the problem in my for a long, long time. And they finally found a little bit of a creak right on the top of my head where I landed on the floor. And so it was really more accidental, and then everything just kind of went south, and that's basically what the stroke was. It was more balanced than anything.
Okay, so if I could interpret that a little bit, maybe, you know, even brain trauma, that because of the impact.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not going to read this whole article, but I found it quite fascinating, and I'm referencing something that just came into our email box this morning. But it's dated August 5th, 2019, so it's just a few days ago. And it's an article in ARP magazine or ARP online. Everybody makes fun of me, all of our friends, that especially younger. You have a membership to ARP? Yes. And I just upgraded and paid for a 5-year membership. It cost me all of $10 a year to do 5 years at a time. But this article is titled 8 Surprising Things That Increase Your Chance of Stroke. And even though, just like what you were doing, Phil, you know, to take your cholesterol meds, keep your blood pressure in check, don't smoke, and maybe even exercise a few times a week. If that's the case, good news. You've neutralized some of the biggest factors for stroke and heart attack. But The latest research indicates that there may be even more that you can do. And they cite all of the studies from Columbia University, and it goes on and on. 800,000 Americans have a stroke every year, according to the CDC. Fifth leading cause of death in the U.S. and causing difficulty walking, memory loss, speech difficulties. Most strokes are triggered by a blood clot in the brain, which that kind of is what you, Doc, talked about. High blood pressure, high cholesterol, obesity. I mean, the list goes on and on. But here are the eight things. And stroke, I'm not the most partial to it as far as an individual. However, both my grandmothers suffered strokes. My dad's mom, hers was life debilitating her last few years, even though she did live on her own on the farm, just down literally across the pasture or the field from my aunt and uncle. Completely paralyzed on one side of her body, and I honestly can't remember which side it was. However, because of the use of the Nikin solutions, she regained what had been paralyzed for years with no improvement until after my father introduced her. I remember her even sharing, not even being able to communicate, and yet her excitement for the use of the what we now have called the MagDuel, the MagBar, but all the other products combined. We didn't have the water back then, but especially the sleep. And that is, here are eight things, and I'm going to go through them really quick. This is according to this article that's in ARP magazine. Here are eight other common things that we don't realize that contribute to a stroke. And this was their order. I don't know if any one of them is more, but sleep, not enough or too much. What is the foundation of Nikin's product line is our sleep system. Bad oral hygiene, not brushing our teeth or flossing. Evidently, according to the article, that all that stuff in our mouth gets up into the rest of our body and can affect an impact. Number three is irregular heartbeats. Four, binge drinking. Five, prolonged use of antibiotics. It's one thing to get, like you said, Phil, a staph infection and use them for a short amount of time. But there are people that use them just nonstop. They just keep using them. Six is flu-like illness. Getting something that's similar to a flu and not doing what needs to be done. My wife sees this all the time with her colleagues that she teaches with. They'll get a flu and they'll be out of school for two and a half, three weeks. Now for her, if she gets it on Thursday or Friday, by Monday morning, she's fine. We're very proactive, but you have something ongoing, it could impact, and the side effect could be a stroke. Number seven, too much sitting. How many of us in the world today have a desk job and we don't, we just spend all our time sitting. And in the article stated that you could go out and be an active runner or an exercise routine at a gym for half an hour, an hour a day. But if you spend 10 hours sitting, it becomes very, you know, your body goes into a sedentary mode. And the last one is a diet heavy in red meat. And this is where we get, people will just tune me out entirely, Phil, and I'm sure you've learned a lot on the subject of eating. But plant-based seems to be the wave of the future, even though it's getting a bad rap, going vegan or going plant-based or vegetarian. But that was number eight, a diet rich and heavy on red meat. It's really hard on the body. And just this week, a family in Australia, a young couple, is looking at, they lost custody of their 18-month-old daughter because they went strict vegan, and their daughter at 18 months only weighs 10 pounds. and the officials are blaming it completely on the fact that they have not introduced. So there's extremes. And so I want you to talk about what you've been doing since the stroke, and maybe one of those eight or maybe several of them you've learned that these are things we can do and implement the NECAN solutions to get you literally back in the saddle, because it's been less than 4 years and you're doing things that most, at least the people that I've been around, and when I see people impacted by stroke at least monthly as a first responder, and when the ST1 or ST3 comes across our pager in my phone, that's a stroke. And I know it's very, very serious, and seconds and minutes matter. So what are you doing? And I'm sorry for taking so much time and segueing all that information. And if you, anybody that if I went too fast on those list of eight, go on ARP, AARP.com, and I'm sure you can find what I just cited. But so what are you doing and what have you done to regain your life?
The biggest thing that started off at the hospital was the water. And I've been drinking pie water since it came out in 1999. The other thing was I was really just tossing and turning and hoping that I could get on a sleep system. So I put the car seat on the bed, and that was really, really big while I was in the hospital. And the biggest thing that I saw was water and sleep. Those were the two biggest helps all the way through. And the more I slept and on a sleep system, the better the better it was. And I have used all of the products that I have available to me, which is the Mag Steps, and they have been just really, really big in terms of getting my my walk back and everything there. And then I use the Kinko Touch for some reason. It just really calms the body down a lot. And then, so I use all of the products. And then when we came out with the KVB, I use that in the morning as my total breakfast. I just drink the KVB with a glass of water, and that's just really outstanding. So all of these things that NECAN provides are positive and are very, very useful in the recovery, and then doing all of those exercises that that you need to do to get the my left side back to the right, or I mean back to normal, is if you do something on the right side, do it on the left, you know, whatever joint you're going to be working on, make sure that everything is copied exactly the way you do it on the other side, and then do it every day, and just, you know, it really sometimes gets pretty old, but at the same time, you know, you just see the improvement little bit by little bit. I mean, it's not big, and it takes a long time. And so, you know, it's just a 4 or 5 year project that it just takes a lot of time. And my biggest problem in the whole recovery has been that I've been getting and feeling really good, so I started doing things that I shouldn't have done, like using a power washer, falling down and landing on my shoulder, because of ice, and those kinds of things. Well, I was doing some swimming with a belt on, and I got out of the pool. I was with my grandkids, and I got out of the pool, and I was doing it too fast. And I lost my balance, and I had to pull myself back into the water. And you know, those kind of things, they were all just accidental kinds of things that happened that set me back, and then I would recover, and then I, you know, and one day I was playing a little pickleball, just, you know, getting back into the game, and I was, I don't know exactly what I was doing, but I went backwards, and I fell down, and that threw me back for a period of time. So it has been mostly stupid mistakes that I have made myself that has set me back time. And now the biggest thing that I see is patience. You have to have patience and just, you know, sit it out and wait until you're absolutely ready. And that's right now where I'm at, is just on that last one where I'm getting my left knee and left side so that I'm walking absolutely correct. And that has been the uppermost thing about the stroke, is you just have to have patience and take your time doing it, irregardless of where you have been.
You know, Phil, one thing, and you didn't use these exact words, but it's a mental game. There, with anything, if you push yourself to, and I understand that when people say, well, I'm giving it 110%. But at the same time, you have to use common sense. In any occupation, anything we do in life, you know, something as simple as using the pressure washer or getting out of a swimming pool. We have to use common sense. And I think about the fact, and I asked a couple ladies to contribute here. One is just up the road from you, Karen Willens, and if she can hit *6 right quick. The mental game of taking some time and literally doing something that will allow us to understand that our brain, having a healthy mind, is second when you look at the five pillars of health, right behind having a healthy body. And there's, Nikan does these events and has been since its, you know, inception, at least in the North American marketplace, of taking a day. If you do it once a year, that'd be fantastic.
Yep.
In experiencing humans being more. Karen, you're taking the lead on, and this is a little commercial right in the middle, but I think the importance of it really does, because we don't stress the emphasis, especially even daily, or even taking a stretch break every hour and then relaxing our mind. Why is humans being more, Karen, so important? Why are you promoting it upcoming in La Crosse, Wisconsin?
Good morning. Can you hear me, Dan?
Go for it, Karen.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for allowing me to participate and talk about humans being more. Phil, I want to congratulate you. You are an amazing gentleman, and I am so inspired by you. Getting to humans being more, La Crosse is only a city of about 51,000, maybe 66,000, including a couple of northern areas. I was ill a long time ago, and I decided, I actually found out that there's an emotional connection with health. And when I learned that, I went, oh, and I started learning about it. And when I found Nikan, and I found that humans being more connected, the body and the mind, that's where the healing really occurs. And I found myself at the beginning of this year, when I was setting my goals, saying to myself, and I want human being more to come to La Crosse. And I went, what did I just say? It is so important. And I know that there's a resurgence in Nutan, which I am absolutely thrilled about. Human being more catapults us. Every time I've gone, I have grown. And I have been able to do more and more in the way of shedding my old skin like a snake and moving forward towards my goals. And so I'm realizing that goal by bringing human being more to the upper Midwest. We have to wake everybody up here.
Yeah, Karen, I have to interject here. This is Phil again, and I have been to many humans being more sessions, and you're absolutely right smack dead on. And I'm about 200 miles from La Crosse, and I'm coming to that class there, and you're absolutely right on, you know, connecting the mind and the body, and the two are just absolutely together.
Thank you, Phil. I appreciate that, and I'm really looking forward to meeting you in person. The other thing, part of my background is I'm a naturopath, so I'm a doctor of natural health. I didn't start out that way. I started out with a medical background. I'm a registered dental hygienist, although I'm retired. And even in naturopathy, it teaches that diseases actually start in the mind. And when I share the five pillars of health with people, I actually put mind before body, because it is that important.
You're absolutely right.
Karen, thank you. And Phil, thank you for endorsing it. And so for those of you in this, I know this is a commercial. I know it is. However, if any of you want to meet Phil in person, because Phil, you have been an icon in my life because you're 30 years ahead of me, 3 decades ahead of me, and although I don't put regular physical fitness daily into my routine, I'm constantly active in doing things and pushing myself a little further, but I'm trying to find balance and not going too far. And a day of sitting for me, or a day if it's the weather is no good, I have to find something to do to stay active, and I haven't found that in a gym membership. I'm doing other things instead. But I want if we can finish, and I apologize to those of you who are thinking, oh, this is going too long or whatever. Barb Satterwhite, who is a registered nurse by occupation, a few years ago, this subject of stroke came front and center to her because of her husband, Don. And Barb, I'd love for you to contribute here. And what say you on this subject? What you learned, what you experienced, and maybe kind of wrap it all up, this conversation on this topic. Okay, I thought she might be with us. Star 6 on your phone line, Barb, if you're still on the line. There we go.
Can you hear? Yeah.
That's
sorry.
It. We can now. Thank you. No worries.
I just unmuted my phone and didn't realize I still had to do Star 6. But, yes, Phil, I'm definitely impressed as well with you and what you've done and what you've been through and all of these things. So thanks for sharing. Don, my husband, actually had his stroke actually also in 2015. In fact, it was May, 4 years ago. And totally unexpected. They think it probably was a fib that we didn't know he had, and because he had no symptoms of it. But he also had some carotid blockages when we did an MRI, and that's another story I'll tell you. But what was really important about his stroke was, first of all, he was totally paralyzed on the right side, couldn't speak at all, and I was here at the time, and we got him to the hospital so he could get the TPA, which is the clot-busting drug, and obviously that was very important. But what was interesting, they wanted to further do MRIs to find the clot so they could remove it, and they couldn't because the infarct was so big and so huge it would be too dangerous. So we go off to ICU, and in ICU that night, I had the nurses put, I know the value of the reflexology points in the foot, so I put our M-steps, the ones with the bumps in his socks, put our mini sleep system, travel sleep system on a bed, put his neck band on, pillowcase under his head, wristband, and by 5 o'clock the next morning, he's calling my name, which was huge, and he had a little bit of strength in that right side. That continued on through the day until evening where, number one, he's talking fluently. You can't understand a thing, but he's talking fluently. And ate his own supper, wouldn't let me cut it up, and transferred that night out of ICU. The next morning, walked around the unit completely without help. So gained everything back physically. Now, obviously, the drug helped. But there's no doubt in my mind, the continuation or the starting with all of our technologies and giving the body's environment to help itself. He went on to rehab and got discharged early because he had absolutely no physical things they could work on. But his speech continued to be a problem, and we did that, and he ended up with still a lot of speech, and he just died this past April from sepsis, nothing necessarily stroke-related, and that was very quick and very unexpected. But he functioned driving, doing his yard work, doing everything for a couple years, and quite honestly, he had everything. He didn't know this, but he had mini magnets in his baseball cap, and he wore the neck band, slept on everything, and so there's no doubt in my mind that Nican was huge in his recovery. Now, this is another interesting fact. At the time of the extra MRIs that they did, they found the carotid blockages at 70% and 40%, and so we go to the vascular surgeon, and he obviously said, well, we need to probably do what they call endarterectomy, where they clean out the artery or put stents in. And he says, but we'll wait 6 months and put them on statins. And I went, don't want them on statins. Immediately started them on 4 ounces a day, 2 in the morning, 2 at night, of our 2 juices, Viagra and Bergistrol. The Bergistrol is now in pill form or capsule form. But we did that for 5 months, and when we went back in 6 months, he had less than 50% blockage. That continued every 6 months. We never had to do anything with the carotid blockages. So Nican again stepped in, and I am eternally grateful for all that we had to support him.
Barb, and I want to remind everybody, and I don't want to be hyperactive on the subject of being sensitive or so concerned about making a medical claim, but just as a reminder to folks, just because what Don Satterwhite, as Barb just shared, or just because what Phil Hansen did with his routine, the results are going to be different. If I get a cut on my finger, it's going to heal differently than somebody else's. Now, if we just put a Band-Aid on it, and that's all we do, I know it's going to take longer to heal versus me stretching a piece of Nican duct, a simple kinetic tape, over that area. Our family, we do this all the time. And I was joking with my nephew yesterday, and he said, yeah, but that scar on your arm, Uncle Vance, I need one of those on my cheek so people can really see how tough I am. And we both laughed. I said, you know, I wish I would have put a piece of the kinetic tape on my arm, because maybe that scar wouldn't even be there. But I know the one that I did 2 days ago. Something as simple as that. We get to be proactive when life deals us, you know, maybe a bad deck of cards or a bad hand. So just as a reminder, and I want to encourage everybody with what Phil has shared, what Karen has contributed, And finally, with what Barb has shared on this subject, look back over. I'm looking, as Barb, as you're sharing, I'm looking back over these lists of eight things that, according to this article in Art Magazine, these are major contributors. And being proactive and saying, hey, I don't want my husband on statins, but let's try a different route. Let's change the environment. Let's allow the body to heal itself. A cardiovascular solution like the progesterol, as my dear friend Stephen B. Stevens taught me, it could actually help normalize the body. You know, who knew? You know, who knows? Statins usually, typically, the side effects are way worse than the solution. Yeah, it may, you know, thin out the blood, it may help with the clogging and all that, but the flip side, the side effects, and we see that with any type of drug. So, and again, I'm not saying Western medicine is bad. I've never believed that at all. It has its purpose. However, we can be proactive. So I want to thank Phil. Thank you so much. I have learned every phone call. I feel like I'm very selfish. But I'm hoping that people will take this information, share it with others. You can take the recording from SaturdayAMLive.com. It'll be posted eventually, but 2019 recordings. You just copy and paste the link of this conversation and what Karen, what you contributed regarding the healthy mind. This is absolutely huge. Something we need to be doing daily to relax, slow down, turn things off. And I remember the advice I was given years ago when I was training for a stair climb, a firefighter stair climb, 1,311 steps, 69 stories with 50 pounds of gear on my body. And I remember interviewing a physical therapist who said, Vance, the greatest thing you can do is develop a healthy mind. And I'll tell you, that bit of wisdom was huge, so much more so than what. And you would agree, right, Phil?
Oh, absolutely. That's a huge thing. Yep, you're right. And
so,
that's exactly where we need to go in America right now, is taking the mind and saying, you know, I can use all of these technologies that we have and benefit because it's going to affect my brain, my mind.
Yeah, it puts the body, and again, it's changing the environment. We really have to get a kind of the mind of a child, so to speak. Not the mind of a child on a device or in front of a screen, but seeing how that when you force them as parents, and we see this all the time, when we force our children to go do something besides experience and view it on a screen, but go do something, unplug, and their mind seems to really, really get dialed in. And then lastly, I want to thank Barb Satterwhite. I remember being with Dawn post-stroke and seeing the results and yet seeing how proactive you guys were. And I really, really appreciate you contributing to this conversation. So I'm going to bid you all farewell. Thank you again. And appreciate so much so. Again, reminder that there are things we have to live a life of balance, and in order to do that, we balance Nican into it. And being proactive really can make a huge difference, especially with something that's so life-altering like a stroke.